This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Welcome to The Difference. It's good to have you listening in. I'm joined today by three of my Convergent colleagues, Principal Jay Wirth, Senior Project Director Carlotta Ungaro, and Project Director Paul Santiago. All three of these members of our team are experienced fundraisers with more than 20 years each in the development field, and each has raised millions of dollars for various economic development and nonprofit clients of ours over the years. The reason I'm bringing these three together today is to talk about now. The business climate today is very different, obviously, than it was 6 months ago. Fundraising and the way that we are fundraising has changed drastically. These three are all either currently raising money or running feasibility studies in this virtual world. I'd love to start by having you give a bit of background on what you've been working on over the past 4 or 5 months, as we've seen the COVID-19 pandemic change the world and the way we're doing business. Definitely nonprofits and economic development organizations need money and need our services now. But what have you all been doing? Carlotta, why don't you go first?
Thanks, Kristen. I have been working on an economic development campaign in North Carolina. So our goal is to raise $1 million. It's the organization's first campaign in setting up a public-private partnership. Prior to this year, all their funding came from their local governments. So this is a new concept for the community and for the organization. Our campaign was supposed to end in mid-July, but due to COVID-19, we did have to put the campaign on pause. Started the campaign back up in mid-June, and our target date to wrap up is the end of September. And we are at 78% of our goal.
Jay, what have you been up to?
I just finished interviews for a feasibility study prior to a campaign that we believe will ensue maybe at the start of the new year. The COVID pandemic has made organizations pause, as Carlotta mentioned, and we're also getting into the fall season, and there's always some planning and preparation that goes into a campaign. Before you know it, it will be December, which I call the lost month for business. I would expect that a campaign will kick off with this organization, which is an economic development public-private partnership that has done two previous campaigns with our firm. I did a combination of Zoom interviews and in-person interviews. COVID has died down enough that some folks appreciated an in-person conversation. And I'll tell you some about the advantages and disadvantages after we hear from Paul and what he's been up to.
I have been working with a Midwest community economic development chamber of commerce organization. This is their second campaign. We started in January due to COVID-19, had to pause in March after going back and forth and talking about the benefits of moving forward. We decided to move forward in June because the organization has done a great job previously in the community, has a good track record, has provided solid investable outcomes for their community, and we have a strong leadership team. I've been back, we raised almost $1 million, and we've done a lot of things. We've done meetings virtually and in person. So it's really worked out to be a very interesting combination. But we expect to hit our campaign goal by the end of September.
Yeah, so I want to dig into this hybrid campaign approach a little bit more. But before we do that, I think it probably makes sense actually to start with you, Jay. We always recommend a feasibility study before a nonprofit or an economic development organization jumps into a capital campaign. Tell us a little bit about a virtual or hybrid feasibility study, but are there any specific findings, learnings, silver linings?
One of the things that I found, and it didn't happen often, but I did have two individuals who did not show up for their virtual conversation with Zoom. And I think it's a little easier to cancel a meeting if you're in a virtual environment. And then the critical thing there is to follow up, have your scheduler that's doing the meetings, or if you're doing the meetings, follow up with an email and reschedule. So I was able to reschedule. If somebody's running late, you can always send an email to the participant, reminding them that, hey, a Zoom meeting is in progress, you're not there. It doesn't say it that bluntly, but it does say that you're missing out on a meeting right now. So, and that happened a couple of times as well, where people just were running a little late and they appreciated the reminder. Now, in terms of how do you do Zoom meetings well, I've got some thoughts on that. I think it's very important to have a neutral background. There are free virtual backgrounds that you can download into your search engine, put Zoom backgrounds, and you can choose from dozens of backgrounds, and they can be funny, they can be serious, they can be scenic. Pick a neutral background. The other thing about a virtual background is it eliminates distractions. The reason that's important is because most of us as human beings are very curious. And you find yourself, when you're looking at somebody's office as the interviewer or interviewee, you're going to examine what's on the bookshelves. Don't tell me you don't do that, because you do. And the background can be incriminating and introduce bias to the conversation. We don't want bias. We don't want any distractions or bias. So that sets up a neutral, even playing field for the conversation. Someone may counter that by saying, well, yeah, but it's cute when the cat walks through the video. No, it's not. It's distracting. And we're here to do business. We're not here to talk about kitties. I really do think it's important.
So you kind of get right to the point, right? And right into the reason
we're
you're there.
Taking valuable time out of somebody's normal work day. They're doing us a big courtesy by giving us time to give us good thought about the program of work that we're testing in a feasibility study for an organization. The least we can do is extend that courtesy to them by having a distraction-free environment. I think another thing that's important is to have a reasonable amount of eye contact. That works for me because I can touch type. And what I like about Zoom interviews is that I can have a Word document sitting below the video of the person that I'm watching and take notes. It saves me a lot of time, but I don't want to get distracted by looking down at my computer keyboard, because that tells the person that you're interviewing, well, you're not really paying attention. What's distracting you? You don't want to look off to the right or to the left too much. On the other hand, you don't stare intently the entire time, because then you're not normal, because we all look away or look down, blink, that sort of thing. So you want to maintain a sense of normalcy. Another thing that we found with virtual conversation is you have to let the conversation breathe. Part of that is because of technology. What Zoom can't do is everything in real time like human beings do. We can talk over each other and still make sense of a conversation if we're talking in person. But you can't do that on Zoom because it abruptly garbles the conversation when people are talking over one another. So it's always good, I think, to take a beat. Let the person finish their thought. It's okay to be quiet.
Thank you. Those were great tips. Yeah, it sounds like you did a lot of learning on the job there to kind of fine-tune your approach. But yeah, overall, it wasn't, you didn't see a fall-off with going from in-person to virtual.
I think that has more to do with the what our firm calls the asking rights that the organization has with the stakeholders, with the potential investors, or if it's a renewal, those that have invested in the past to get them to renew, re-up over the next funding cycle. I really think it has more to do with, you know, does the organization have credibility in the community? Do they have a strong constituency? And are we presenting a good program of work for the potential investor to consider?
Paul and Carlotta, tell us what you guys have learned. Why don't you start, Carlotta, with how has it been actually raising the money, taking the next step into the actual campaign?
So I am working on a new campaign. The organization I am working with has never raised money for economic development before. So we had a little bit of a learning curve even before COVID-19 hit. And one of the challenges is with a new campaign like this is so many of our investors these days, or potential investors, are companies that are multinational. Their headquarters is in some other part of the country or the world. And when you make that ask, it's not a decision right there where you're sitting in front of them. It has to go up the chain of command. So when you're making a new ask that has not been included in the budget before, you're going to have a little bit of the budget challenges. With COVID-19, that has thrown that piece of the process into even a greater amount of challenge. Talking with a firm a couple of days ago, and they're owned by a private equity firm. They were allotted $20,000 a year for their community investments for across whatever projects they deemed important in the community, which isn't a whole lot of money for this type of company, but private equity is changing things out. They often do that. The company had spent $2,000, and in March, all of their funds were frozen. They had already gone through since January. They were on their third budget. They got a new budget in January, a new one in February, and a new one in March that stuck, and that was the COVID-19 budget. So that's one example, but you see a lot of that when you're out meeting with people right now with the COVID-19, is especially when you're making a new ask to a budget, is just not sure right now. With the campaign I'm working on, we are shooting to wrap up at the end of September, but there'll be a great deal of follow-up. Most companies, I'd guess 70-80% of corporations out there and businesses run on a calendar fiscal year, so from January 1 to December 31. So those last 3 months of the year are a great time to get included in a budget. And so we will be working with the client to make sure that that continues and hopefully get them more money past even what the goal is.
Paul, what about you? How has it been in the field for you and your campaign?
What we have found is that we've overall have made a great decision to move forward, but there are companies that are down upwards of 60%. They're still supporting this organization because they know that at some point we're going to come out of this pandemic, and whatever the normal will be in the next 6 months or a year, that the community will be braced for good things to happen. But what I have found with some organizations is that they would like for us to reach out to them again next year, because some of these organizations are, as I mentioned, down some even up to 80%. And especially if they have been they've had supply chain issues, or early on it was related to they were in the automotive parts manufacturing, airline parts. Obviously, airlines, as we know, are not where they want to be, and maybe the next couple of months things may be even more bleak for them, as we're hearing in the news. I think it's important for people to understand, while one sector may be down, there are others that have done well. As an organization is considering moving forward, coming out of feasibility study, or looking to continue to press forward with a campaign, you really analyze the situation. Everybody's situation is different. There are investors willing to invest in organizations. You just have to go out there. I recommend that boards and staff and do not answer for their investors basically saying no. Go ahead and make the ask. They will tell you what they can and can't do. And what you find during campaigns, especially in this particular campaign, this chamber and EDC has really been able to show what they're worth to the community. They've helped so many small businesses, from individual restaurants all the way up to their large manufacturers. Again, if you have an organization that has done a good job and you let the community know, they're willing to at least listen to what we have to present and consider making an investment. It may not be now, but it may be next year. You're planting the seeds.
Paul, you make a great point about the organization delivering, and I'm fortunate too, working for an organization that's made a huge difference in the community. What I'm learning to realize is I'm meeting with a lot of people that see what they're doing as the right thing to do for the community, but they just don't have the capacity. So we'd much rather have companies with interest, and maybe their capacity's not there right now, than the other way around. And that is a lot to do with how the organization you're representing is performing and making a difference in the community.
Actually, you guys are reminding me of the webinar that Tom Rolser ran a few weeks ago, Emerge Ready, and it showed some of the survey results we got from economic development and nonprofit leaders on how they were doing and what their fundraising plans were in the near future. One of the biggest things was just casting a wider net. So are there people out there with interest in supporting these organizations, whether or not they have the money exactly right now, to finding those people? And so you guys, even in this virtual medium, you are able to find the new investors for these organizations. Where are the silver linings for you all in the virtual world?
Back in May, when things were very frightening and scary, particularly in the fundraising world, I got a phone call one Friday afternoon at 3:00. It was from someone I had met with a month and a half before, calling to let me know they were pledging $100,000 to the campaign. I shared it with my coworkers. Everybody's so excited because you weren't hearing from anybody then. So that was a big silver lining. For our organization, the silver lining is that interest. It's a brand new concept for the private sector to be investing with an organization like this, leveraging the public and private dollars. The other silver lining for our community is the willingness of the elected officials to step up and help out with the campaign. I have two elected officials that are actively serving as door openers for our campaign, and that's been a huge help too. It is a community effort. People understand and want economic development and want jobs. There's a lot of needs right now in communities. There are people going hungry. There are people with medical needs. Economic development, at least in the community where I'm working, is viewed as essential, as important as those needs.
One of the things that we have found here is that this, and people have realized this throughout this whole pandemic, that this is the only organization that gets up every day focused on the economic well-being of the community. And that has resonated with investors and organizations that may not be able to invest right now, but they've seen how well this organization has performed during this time frame, and just had an investor this past week, and this individual decided to invest a pretty large realty organization, had never invested in the organization, and was just saying this past week to the CEO, thank you for all you are doing. We just did not realize how important this organization is to our community. And it's amazing because this person has been involved before, but they didn't know some of the things that are happening and what they're looking to do going forward with this 5-year plan of work. It's really been interesting to have people realize how good this organization is and what they do for the community.
Jay, are you finding, as did interviews, that people were more aware or growing importance of economic development now?
There's a general awareness throughout the region that area can really take off. So there's already a high profile for economic development in the region, not without its controversy, because development also affects the environment, and it's a very well-educated area in one part of this county, and in the other part it's more rural. So there's going to be that kind of conflict that develops in a region when it comes to economic development. And that's what's challenging about our work and the work of economic development organizations and chambers of commerce, is adjudicating that we're not that excited about it, and this community will face that challenge. However, what we found out in the study is that there aren't that many businesses that have taken a huge downturn in terms of their revenues. There may be some concern from a cash flow standpoint going into the new year, but right now the realtors have more business, more listings than they can hardly handle. They are doing very, very well in the environment. So I was really pleased that there is a high awareness for economic development, and that all business has not gone to heck in a handbasket.
So I'd like to close with each of you telling us what advice, or telling our listeners, what advice you would give to those who are considering a capital campaign. We, through roundtables we've done, webinars we've done, feedback from prospects who we've talked to over the past few months, there's definitely some trepidation about starting a campaign now. And I just would like to hear what you all would say about people who are nonprofits or economic development organizations who are worried about the timing.
It, particularly in our arena of economic development, now is the best time to go out and start these campaigns, because marketing your community and putting in place those programs that support the businesses in your community are needed now more than ever. I know my client has told me they have never been so busy in their career as they have been the last 5 months, trying to reach out and make sure their businesses are getting the support they need in any possible way to help them survive this economic crisis. And many of them that may not be able to support right now have experienced that and in the future do plan to invest in the organization. My client just had an announcement last week with 61 jobs and about $45 million in capital investment. That's the kind of news you want to hear in this day and age when you're hearing about layoffs, job unemployment numbers going up. So that was very positive for the community and a great win. The newspaper gave them kudos. It was just what I needed and helps people understand. I'm seeing more when I meet with people now, they get economic development much more now than maybe before the pandemic hit. They see the value much more than they did. One other thing that we've done differently, we've been so reliant on meeting with people in person, and now we've learned to do the Zoom meetings and the call meetings, and technology has been such a great advantage in that. I find when I send emails with Calendly, I get people responding faster to the meeting request than if you send a list and go back and forth or try to call. So sometimes the technology is the catch that gets them to participate. We've tended to do the public campaign with an event launch. Well, we decided to do a virtual launch with press releases, social media. We did testimonial video clips of 8 of our committee members and a holistic video of the campaign. And we are running 3 social media postings a day. We highlight someone who has invested in us. We highlight one of the testimonials, and we highlight something important about the campaign, one of the strategies that's in the campaign. And we're running that for the next 6 weeks. We may not get someone to call us up and invest from that, but when you reach out for have these group meetings or the individual meetings, they have probably seen the article in paper or maybe saw something on their Twitter feed that is reinforcing that this organization is out there making things happen. So that's the message we want to convey. And even if you can't invest now, let us know if you can invest in the future, and we will make sure we count that and recognize you and get you engaged when you're ready to go.
Paul, what about you? What advice would you give?
I mentioned a little bit earlier, I think it's important that organizations really do a complete analysis, take this feasibility study, that analyze it, and don't be hesitant to go out in this environment and ask for an investment in your organization. I think it's critical. It's a great time for economic development. I like to say that this community is a county of 100,000. We like to say they're punching above their weight. And that's sort of a mantra that's out there right now. And they're very excited about what can be once we secure all the funding that they need for the next 5 years. We give individuals the opportunity to either meet in person or via Zoom. And I think that flexibility, some people have been hesitant to meet in person. They love the Zoom chance to meet via Zoom because 6 months ago, they may not have been open to that. But now people are more comfortable with meeting virtually, and it's actually worked out very well. We are hosting what we call group Zoom meetings we just sent out our last batch of invitations to over 100 individuals. We've already had over 40 attend. And the response has been fantastic. We send out the invitation. We give them the opportunity to pick 4 dates and times that work for them. And it's very convenient. We've had a great turnout. We are getting exposure to people that maybe haven't invested in an organization before, and they're coming away with knowledge about what is happening in their community, and they're very thankful for it.
Jay, what closing advice would you have for our listeners on whether or not to move forward in a capital campaign?
I can't more heartily second what Carlotta and Paul said. I really have nothing to add, but if you don't ask, you don't get. That's the bottom line. Be fearless, be bold, have a great plan, cultivate your potential investors, and you can be successful.
Thank you to Carlotta Ungaro, Jay Worth, and Paul Santiago today, our Convergent team members working hard out there fundraising for economic development organizations across the country. To find out more about Convergent and our services, please visit convergentnonprofit.com.